Alrighty. Now, I'm going to introduce our guest speaker, Chris Logan, and he represents Connecting Streams, and this is an application or teaching or whatever you want to call it, to help equip churches to serve...
I'm going to help you out. Vulnerable people.
Yeah. the word was there again. I'm about as old as dirt, so that kind of... kind of happens. Chris, welcome here, and we're waiting to hear from you.
Right on. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm going to attempt to share a little bit of my story, a little bit from the Word, and a little bit about our ministry with Connecting Streams, and do it all very concisely so that you don't fall asleep while I'm talking. I was warned of this earlier, so I actually came and spoke here about 7 years ago. I'm a church planter with the Alliance, and I have been pastoring in the Edmonton area for the past 17 years, a little bit on the north side, a little bit out in Stony Plain, and I'm actually just up the road at Rutherford. Just so you know, you are a mega church. I have Lee and Katie here with me this morning. That is a third between us and my son. That's a third of our church is here visiting you, and the others are all scattered about doing other things too. We're a small little house church. And we've been meeting for the past about 8 years now, which is crazy. We're in our eighth year. And so in our journey, I moved from working as a church planner to working full-time with Connecting Streams Ministry, and that's what I want to talk about today. Connecting Streams, our vision is the church and society's vulnerable populations transformed together. We believe that Jesus works in all our lives, not just those that we serve, but also us as we serve. And so we just embrace that as our vision. We are part of the Power to Change family. If you've heard of Power to Change, it's more commonly remembered as Campus Crusade, but that is just now their student ministry, and there's 10 ministries under Power to Change, and we are one of the ministries under there. And over the last number of years, God has surprised me with tons of twists and turns as I follow him. But I just want to start with this, and we kind of sang it in the song, How Great Thou Art. This has never changed. Jesus is so good. He is so, so good. He is constantly pursuing people to know him, to experience his love, and then find salvation and purpose in his kingdom. And over the years, we've witnessed this so many times, Jesus inviting people to trust him. And my wife and I got married in 2005. We started in pastoral ministry 3 weeks after that. And throughout this journey that God has had us on, we've always had this one posture. We've tried to have open hands. Whatever the kingdom needs, we want to be available for it. But standing before God with your hands like this, we had no idea how much upheaval and uncertainty it would create in our lives. And yet all of us are invited to have this posture. So I began my career as a full-time pastor, and then God moved me back into the marketplace a few years ago. I was working as a career coach and a church planter. And then this pandemic hit us. Do you remember that? How can we not, right? We're still kind of at the end of it. I was laid off a week before the pandemic from my job, coaching job. The government canceled our contract, and so I was laid off. And then a week after that, COVID shut everything down. And 2 weeks into COVID, I was laid off of all my pastoral work. There was a clerical error in the books, and I lost my job. My wife worked at the school, and the school shut down, so she was laid off. So we lost all of our employment and all of our sources of income in a few weeks. And during this time, we had been praying, God, help us to transition into full-time tent-making work, where we get all of our income outside of the church when we pastor as volunteers. This was not how we expected him to answer the prayer. But it's amazing how his plan was beginning to unfold. So after being unemployed for a few months, We actually got the kids around the dinner table and we said, we got to pray. It's getting real. Pray that God gives Dad a job. And the very next morning, I get a phone call from an old friend. And within an hour, I was on site framing houses. He was very gracious to hire out-of-work pastors to frame houses who have never done it before. But during that time, it's like God was just pulling away some of my securities that maybe were causing insecurity. He took away a lot of my reliance on, and even on the finances that I had become accustomed to. And in this place of challenge, he reminded me that he is our provider and that he is always faithful, right? And he used this time to reshape my calling, and it's something that I want to share with everyone. Calling is not what you do for employment. Calling is living out of the kingdom identity that Jesus gives you. And George Mueller wrote a book called Answers to Prayer. And it was in my mind during this time because in the book, George wanted to demonstrate that God is always faithful. And particularly, he wanted people to see that God is always faithful in prayer. And so he started an orphanage. And he started that because he's like, I know God's invested in orphans. So I'm just going to go where God's at work, and I'm going to show people that prayer works. And it reminded me how often I miss seeing where God is obviously at work because I'm not always looking in the places closest to his heart. I become distracted with my own stuff, my mortgage and my bills, and I forget that simple line, right? Seek first my kingdom, and I'll give you everything else. And it's such a weight off our shoulders when we remember if we seek his kingdom, God's job is to provide everything we need to follow him. And so during this season, I came across this job ad while I was framing houses, realizing that that wasn't my vocational calling. I found this job with Connecting Streams Ministry. And I had partnered with this ministry in the past, and I loved their work, and I knew their founder, Donna Mitchell. The job description seemed perfect, but it did come with this surprise, a surprise that actually Lee and Katie are stepping into in the fall as they're actually joining me on staff. And that is, at Connecting Streams, you have to fundraise your own salary, which is something I would have never have done in a million years. But God reminded me, this is an opportunity to trust him, that he provides. And it's not a blind trust, it's trusting him at his word as we serve people. He will take care of everything else. And throughout the Old and the New Testament, we see that God deeply cares for vulnerable people, people whom may have fallen in the cracks of our society. And so I began to ask this question, and I'm inviting you to ask this question to yourselves. What would happen if you put your time, your energy, your resources, and your passion into people that God is already looking out for? What might we discover if we hold our hands open together and we say, your kingdom come, your will be done right here, right now, in this place, just like it is in heaven? And my hope and my prayer is that as we look at God's word this morning in Matthew 25, that you would be reminded that God is good. His kingdom is breaking into this place right now and into our lives, and we're invited. We get to be a part of what Jesus is doing. He doesn't hide his will from us. He shows us how we can seek him and where we will find Jesus when we look for him. And I believe that it's a surprising story. So if you have your Bible, you can go to Matthew 25, and I'll read to us starting in verse 31. So Matthew 25, verse 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. I'm in verse 35 now. Sorry, I went quick and I heard some still flipping. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me, and I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. This is God's word for us this morning. So studying this passage, when I was looking at it and wrestling over it, what came up for me is that this is a story filled with surprises. Reading Matthew 24 and 25, and we didn't obviously read that other chapter, but often when we read them, we get distracted because there's this end times theme in these chapters. And ironically, we get caught up trying to figure out when the end times might be. And maybe that's the first and biggest surprise of the story. Jesus doesn't know. It says only his Father knows in Matthew 24, 36. But through the teaching and as the chapters progress, it seems the biggest concern for Jesus isn't whether or not it's end times. It's not the challenges that people are facing. What is the concern for Jesus is, are we ready? Have we trusted him with our lives and discovered our new kingdom identity? Has there been an inward transformation of faith that has become an outward expression of love? Do we see the fruit in our lives that show us we're beginning to look more and more like Jesus? Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." Matthew 25, 32, it starts, though, and it has this sobering thought to it. It's that one day all of our lives will be called to account. Notice, though, there's two things that we miss in this passage. They're not there. It doesn't say, pray the prayer, accept Jesus into your heart, and then go on with your life the way it is. That's not in the Bible. The second thing, it doesn't say, if you do good works, you're going to improve your status in God's good books. It doesn't say that. Instead, what it says, Jesus describes there's two groups of people. There's those who believe in him and are transformed, and there's those who don't. And interestingly enough, he's the only one who seems to be able to tell them apart. So the passage isn't about doing good works to impress God or to try to earn some sort of favor with him. And it isn't designed to make us feel shame or unsure of our salvation if we're still wrestling and learning how to live these things out. What Jesus is saying, and he unpacks it in the verse to follow, is that when we receive his salvation, when we commit our lives to following him as a disciple, an apprentice of the kingdom of heaven, we begin to live, sometimes without even realizing it, we begin to live in the way of love that supernaturally changes us. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." Trusting Jesus with our heart, soul, mind, and strength is the way to be ready. Jesus goes on to tell a story, and I just read the first half up to verse 40. But I want to show you a couple surprises in the story. And the first one comes in verse 35. The king in the story proclaims that once he was hungry, thirsty, naked, sick, and stuck in prison. And the question we have to ask is, what kind of a king would be found in those situations? What kind of a king would leave his riches and suffer, not just among the common person, but among the lowly, the hurting, the down and out, and the self-destructed? What kind of a king would find himself entrapped and in a place of desperation? And we know this king, the King of Kings, Jesus, who left heaven and he pursued us, who are undeserving, sinful, and unworthy, victims of our circumstance and even victims of our poor choices. The King of Kings is compelled by truth and grace, willing to give up his own life. Why? To rescue the people he's lord over. Because of his great love. Jesus is amazing. There's an old poem from Francis Thompson, and it's called The Hound of Heaven. And he writes this line in it, and it's in the old King James. It says, "Fear wist not to evade as love wist to pursue." He's saying, no one falls into the cracks that our God does not see. Not even the ones who are trying to run away. If God is fishing for you and you are the bait, just ask Jonah how it ends. You're not getting away. His love displayed for us ultimately on his death on the cross and his resurrection. When you're surrounded by it, everything changes. Amen? This is our King. We are transformed and his heart becomes our heart, and his sight becomes our sight. And then, like him, we're moved into action to flesh out the good news into the brokenness of the world. Another surprise comes further down in verse 37. It says, "The righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?'" And I love this surprise. First, the king surprises us, telling us that he was in need. And then after affirming and blessing those for their beautiful actions who showed him love when he was in need, they respond and they say, "When did we ever see you like this? When were you ever in need?" When I was career coaching, we'd always remind our clients, the job interview begins the moment you step foot on the property. If you're huffing and puffing up onto the parking lot and they see that, they know you're not prepared, you're not ready, and you caught the wrong bus. It begins when you step on the property. And there's this old trick that CEOs and hiring managers like to do where they sit as the receptionist at the front desk. And when you come in and greet them, they want to see how you talk and speak with the people who are maybe lower down the salary scale from them. Our text surprises us. God may have been the first undercover boss. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, "So from now on, we regard nobody from a worldly point of view, though once we even regarded Christ this way. We do so no longer." Jesus' love changes the way we see the world. It shows us people are created in his image, and we learn that what we do in the kingdom, our king considers that being done to him. Last fall, I was at this training meeting for our prison ministries with Connecting Streams. And we have teams in all of the prisons. There's one that still hasn't opened post-COVID, but all the other teams are back up and running in four of the other prisons in our area. And I've been pastoring in this area for 17 years. And there's nothing more exciting than when somebody is hungry to follow Jesus and to learn his word, especially when they're learning it with fresh eyes. A really hopping year as a pastor in ministry, and I've been in small churches, medium-sized churches, to kind of large churches. A really good year, a church might give away a dozen Bibles to people who walk through the door and say, "Hey, I want to learn God's word. Do you have a Bible for me?" Maybe an exceptional year, 24 Bibles. But that would be one that you'd talk about for years and years to come. So here I am last fall on our prison ministry training team, as I just started last fall in Connecting Streams. And to get a Bible in prison, you have to write a handwritten note to the chaplain requesting a Bible. They just finished giving away last year 1,400 Bibles to inmates, and they ordered 1,600 more for this year. I've got prison chaplains calling me saying, "We've got more work than the church can handle. Can you find people to come and serve?" But think about it. We get to join Jesus in prison. How awesome is that? These four walls don't contain the hope and the love and the excitement to get in God's words. It even gets into the prisons. Maybe especially gets into them. Another story. A few years ago, my wife met this newly retired lady, and she joined supervising lunches at our kids' school. She really was just looking for a place to make a friend, to connect. And Rhea became friends with her. And this one day, Deb looked particularly down, and you'll know the time. It was right after the Humboldt Bronco bus crash. She was just devastated. There's so much bad news in the world, and I would argue the news hasn't changed a whole lot. But in that moment, God opened a door, and Rhea had the opportunity to share how the good news of Jesus overcomes the bad news of our world. Then our small little church plant began to serve her, and we got to take her and drive her around and pick up some stuff for her, and the time came, and Rhea had the opportunity to invite her to come and join us. And she came, and she was excited, and her mother was quite a bit older. She was retired too, right? And her mother was, she's just like, she's going to lose it because she's been praying for me for years that I'd come to know the Lord and come to church. And then over the summer, she just stopped attending. And we didn't know why, but it's the summer in Alberta. I'm sure there's a lot of people missing here today. But that fall, when Rhea went back to work, she received the news that Deb had passed away in her condo that summer. But this is the good news. Deb was not alone anymore. Jesus was with her. It's amazing. We get to go and join Jesus with people who are facing isolation, and they don't know that there's a God who is with them and for them and loves them. We send teams into long-term care homes with Connecting Streams. And right now, we're working with a Christian long-term care home. And they said over COVID, so many people have walked away from their faith and fallen into despair and discouragement because of the isolation they've been in. And we get to go in now and share with them that Jesus never left you. And he is with you, and we're going to be with you. And walk this life out with you until your last moments. One of the reasons I joined Connecting Streams was I see the heart of brothers and sisters in Christ wanting to live out the Word of God, wanting to do as the Scriptures call, serving the least of these, vulnerable people whom Jesus' hearts break for. But, you know, the excuses come. It could be busyness or distraction or not knowing where to start. And as I've been wrestling through the different excuses that I've made in my life over the years, really, when they boil down to, I think they're all just fear masked in different ways. Because, as we just read, when we have faith in Jesus, our hearts are being transformed to want to do this, to serve the least of these. So at Connecting Streams, we train our volunteers. We put everyone on a team. Nobody serves alone. That's one of our things. We know that we have strength together, more confidence together. God works with us. Wherever two or three are gathered, Jesus is there with them. And we have opportunities. You can serve in prison, in long-term care homes. We have multicultural conversation groups for newcomers to Canada, addictions recovery ministry, and we have inner city teams. We're building teams around youth transitioning from high school, and we're even starting to fight human trafficking with different groups. We train and we equip everyone. We make sure you have the tools so you can feel confident in what you're doing is impactful for the kingdom. And we work with churches, serving churches where their heart is. We also work with people across denominations and build teams with different churches. And we always train and teach and show people to look for open doors. When will those moments come when we have the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel? Just this summer, in the last about 4 weeks, we've had two people come to faith in Christ, one in addictions recovery and one in the long-term prison sentence. Amazing, right? Jesus can reach people everywhere. He is at work, and he invites us to step into the brokenness of this world, to the touch points where the kingdom of heaven is breaking through. The last surprise I'll just share, and I'll close with this, verse 40 of our passage, because I want to leave us with this focus. It says this, "The king will reply," this is Jesus, "the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So think about what happens when you serve vulnerable people. Jesus says, go and serve them. So he invites us to the serve. And then he promises, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I will go with you when you go into these places to serve. And then when we get there, it says when we serve the least of these, we're serving Jesus. So we end up being called by Jesus, going with Jesus, and finding Jesus on the journey. It's amazing. And it says that God is love, and perfect love drives out fear. All of the things that would hold us back will just dissipate as we trust him. When we respond to Jesus' invitation, we get into the brokenness of humanity. We get into the smells, the struggles, the chains, the good, the bad, and the ugly choices of life, and even the circumstances of life. And we dive into this, we will experience and find Jesus in our lives like we've never imagined. We will see the light shining in the darkness brighter than we've ever seen it shine. We will see the sovereignty of God working in ways we couldn't imagine. He really has won. He is victorious. He's defeated sin and death and sickness. And you'll begin to look at the place you live differently, the city you drive into differently, and this whole area, and it'll be for God's glory. We get to respond to this invitation to serve vulnerable people. And so, yeah, I'm just presenting this morning. I've been talking with Pastor Shannon, and we're looking at ways that our ministry could support your ministry. And that's really our posture. We are here to help build and equip your church family to go and do what we believe Jesus is stirring in your hearts to go and do. So you can talk with Pastor Shannon about that. You can talk with me about it. Just a little disclaimer before I just pray a blessing over you, and we go to a time of worship and communion. I like to hang out. I'm a big time coffee drinker, so if I can stay and drink coffee with you, I'll do that as long as I can. But today I have an amazing opportunity. My son has three of his buddies are getting baptized this afternoon at camp, and they told us on Monday, "Can you come?" And I'm like, we'll do our best to get there. So I'll probably be zipping out of here. But Lee and Katie are here. They're brand new to Connecting Stream, so you can ask them all the hard questions because they'll have no idea what to say. But they will say, here's Chris's business card. Call him and ask him that same question. But we're really excited to connect with you, talk with you, so you can talk to Pastor Shannon or Lee and Katie or myself. And we're just really excited to come alongside and serve and see the heart of Christ really captured here. It's just amazing how he's at work. One last story, and then I'll promise I'll close. I'm going over my time here. So I went downtown, and for the last few years, we've been serving a meal at, it's called the Cease Memorial. And these are all the people who passed away working the streets in prostitution and being human trafficked over the year, and we served supper for them. And there's this one lady who's been there every year, and this year she came up to me, and she really doesn't know me or know my background, so it was sort of random that she said this. But she was 13 years old when she was human trafficked. She's in her 50s now, and she's gone a full calendar year now without being sold. And this is what she says to me. She says, I went out on an acreage, and I had this vision. And she starts describing this guy who sounds a lot like Jesus. And she says, and he came up to me and he pointed at me and he says, I will never leave you. I am always with you. And so she walked away from that lifestyle and got help. And she's volunteering now to help others. And it's just incredible, right? And then her words to me were like, and again, she didn't know I was a pastor. She found out after she said this to me. She's like, I'm looking for a church family. And I'm just like, how does she figure all this out with no supports around and this total, God is with her and he's leading her. And these are the people that are going to need communities like us to get around and just say, this is going to be messy, but we're going to walk with you till you get to know the fullness of God's love for you. And I'm just so excited about that. So let me pray. And I'm going to pray a traditional Celtic blessing over you. So may the Christ who walks with wounded feet walk with you on the road. May the Christ who serves with wounded hands stretch out your hands to serve. May the Christ who loves with a wounded heart open your hearts to love. And may you see the face of Christ in everyone you meet, and may everyone you meet see the face of Christ in you. Amen.